more and more countries are joining the Convergence Club. Literacy has spread to almost all of the world's populations. Electrification and roads have come to the villages of India and China and dozens of other low-income countries. Information technology, starting with the ubiquitous cell phone and now extending to wireless internet, is reaching the most remote areas of the world. National aspirations to join the global economy are nearly universal. Sovereignty is the rule rather than the exception in vast regions of the world that until two generations back were under colonial rule. There is, in short, no reason why nearly all of the world will not be part of the Convergence Club in the first part of the 21st century. This would imply the acceleration of total world growth in the coming years, and such a trend is evident in the past half century. It is instructive to apply the convergence framework to the future development of per capita income in different parts of the world. Suppose that all parts of the world join the Convergence Club, and thereby have the chance to narrow their income levels with the high-income countries. Let's then run the clock forward to 2050, assuming that U.S. economic growth remains at its historical average, 1.7% per annum, while the rest of the world achieves economic growth in proportion to the income gap with the United States. The poorest countries grow most rapidly, and then slow toward 1.7% per annum as they close the income gap with the United States. World per capita income grows by 4.5 times between 2005 and 2050 in this simple model. By 2050, today's developing countries would have an average income of $40,000 per person, roughly equal to U.S. income in 2005, and the United States would have a projected 2050 level of $90,000. Of course, this scenario is highly optimistic in that it assumes the world avoids any prolonged crisis, that the United States grows at the historical average, and that all other countries achieve convergent growth. More people and higher incomes. Not only will most of the world be richer, but there will be a lot more people around enjoying those higher incomes. The world's population continues to grow rapidly, even though the proportionate rate of population growth, each year's increase relative to the size of the global population, has declined. The United Nations Population Division makes several forecasts of the world's population based on different assumptions about the average number of births per woman, the fertility rate. The medium forecast, deemed to be the most likely, envisions that the global population will rise from 6.6 billion in 2007 to 9.2 billion in 2050. This is not as large as the population increase over the past half century, but it is still a whopping 2.6 billion people to be added to an already crowded planet. Indeed, I will argue at some length that this is too many people to absorb safely, especially since most of the population increase is going to occur in today's poorest countries. We should be aiming, as we've noted earlier, to stabilize the world's population at 8 billion by mid-century. The total magnitude of economic activity on the planet is calculated by multiplying the average income per person by the number of people. In our convergent scenario, the world's average rises by around fourfold between 2005 and 2050. In the medium fertility forecast of the UN, the world's population rises by around 40%, or a factor of 1.4 times. Therefore, the gross world product rises, in this scenario, by 6.3 times, from around $67 trillion in 2005 to around $420 trillion in 2050. With a 2050 population at 18 billion rather than 9.2 billion, and the same per capita income, the global world product would reach around $365 trillion rather than $420 trillion. Either way, there is a lot of pent-up economic growth in the world today, which will result from technological catch-up. Let me emphasize once again that these scenarios are highly optimistic, but convey the underlying power of convergence, the dominant force at play in the world economy in our era. The overall lesson is that the world economy will be bigger, much bigger, by 2050, even if we can't say precisely by how much. That economic growth can be monumentally good for human well-being if we can manage the side effects, especially vis-à-vis the environment.